I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the fine city of Leeds, West Yorkshire's brightest jewel. The 18th century cabinet maker Thomas Chippendale came from the nearby town of Otley. Later promoting design and construction, Chippendale's lectures on carpentry and veneer were often disrupted by drunken women throwing their knickers at him. In 1816, the great Leeds to Liverpool Canal was completed. Built as a joint venture, Leeds engineers chose the design of the viaducts and tunnels, while a team from Liverpool picked the locks. The Leeds clockmakers, Whittakers, made some of the finest long-case timepieces of the 19th century. Lucky collectors who have these gracing their homes describe them as the Rolls-Royce of clocks, because they explode on landings. Leeds was the birthplace of two of Britain's most venerable writers of comedy, Alan Bennett and our own Barry Cryer. Alan Bennett recently donated the entire collection of his writing to The Nation. Barry considered doing the same, but everyone convinced him he couldn't give his work away. Sue Ryder was born in Leeds during World War II. She was recruited by the Special Operations Executive and parachuted into occupied France to collect bin bags full of second-hand clothes. And to this day, Sue Ryder's charity shops provide a source of cheap second-hand material that otherwise has outlived its usefulness. Prepare to hear some as I say, let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Phil Jupitus. And please welcome our lovely scorer, just back from London, where thousands enjoyed her opening in the West End. The delightful Samantha. Okay, well, our first round looks at the world of cinema, and in particular, the prequel. The veteran movie director Ridley Scott recently announced he'll be making a prequel of his best-known creation, Alien, which will be shot at Elstree. Ridley seems to have inadvertently given the ending away there. Okay, teams, I'll ask you to suggest titles of movies that might have preceded some well-known films. And, Tim, you could start us off.
Gulliver's Packing.
Barry?
This is little known, Jack, the Chronicles of Hernia.
Phil?
Four engagement parties and a bloke who doesn't feel very well.
Graham?
Let's hope nobody comes and snatches those bodies.
The Empire considers its response.
Will somebody shut those bloody lambs up?
Begin camping.
Will there be blood?
Begin up the Khyber.
We're running a bit low on Mohicans.
Bit of an atmosphere on the Bounty.
Schindler goes to Ryman's, buys a biro and a notebook.
The teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Songs are like a trawler net and its haul of fish. The net represents the melody, scooping up the fish or words, which together represent the complete song. However, at intervals, the net, i.e. the tune, is emptied of its fish, i.e. the words, which are replaced by a fresh haul, i.e. different words. Now, I know exactly what the teams are thinking. What does i.e. mean? And what about protected fish? Certain species, such as the bluefin tuna, face extinction. Just one more than your quota could cost you a penalty fine. And why waste money on a tuna when no one will know the difference anyway? At the piano, Colin Sell. Well, I think we'll start with you, Tim, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Hippy Hippy Shake to the tune of Danny Boy.
Of course.
Goodness sake, I got the hippie, hippie shakes. I got the shakes, I got the hippie, hippie shakes. Oh, I can't sit still with the hippie, hippie shakes. I get my fill now with the hippie, hippie shakes. Yes, in the bag of the hippie, hippie shake. Well, now you shake. To the left you shake. It is the right to do the hippie, hippie shake. With all your might, oh, maybe, yeah, come on and shake.
Well, it's your turn now, Graham, and I'd like you to sing the words of 10cc's I'm Not In Love to the tune of the Toreador's March from Bizet's Carmen.
I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've got it made I'm not in love. No, no, ho, ho. It's because I like to see you. But then again, that doesn't mean you mean that much to me. So if I call you, don't make a fuss. Don't tell your friends about the two of us. I'm not in love. No, 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 no. It's because be quiet, big boys, don't cry.
It's your turn now, Barry, and I'd like you to sing, or at least I hope I'd like you to sing, on Ilkla Mor Bartat to the...
Wait.
To the tune of the Can-Can.
Oh.
We're asked to been since I saw thee on Ilkley Moor, Bartat. We're asked to been since I saw thee on Ilkley Moor, Bartat. There's been a courted Mary Jane on Ilkley Moor, Bartat. There's been a courted Mary Jane on Ilkley Moor, Bartat. On Ilkley Moor, Bartat. On Ilkley Moor, Bartat. There's bound to catch the death accord on Ilkley Moor, Bartat. There's bound to catch the death accord on Ilkley Moor, Bartat.
Thank you, Barry. If you're interested, that also features in Barry's new fitness video that's out this Christmas. Finally, Phil, I'd like you to sing the words of Get the Party Started by Pink to the tune of A Policeman's Lot Is Not a Happy One.
Get this party started on a Saturday night. Everybody's waiting for me to arrive.
To arrive.
Sending out the messages to all my friends.
All my friends.
We'll be looking flashy in my Mercedes Benz.
Mercedes Benz.
Oh, I got lots of style. Check out my diamond rings.
Diamond rings.
I can go for miles if you know what I mean.
What I mean.
Pumping up the volume, breaking down to the beat.
to the beach.
Cruising through the west side, checking out the scene. Boulevard is freaking as I'm coming up fast.
Coming up fast.
I'll be burning rubber, you'll be kissing my ass.
Kissing my ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Andrews Brothers.
Thank you, Phil. Well, political correctness has become something of a pejorative over recent years. We are particularly sensitive when talking to young children, no longer using old-fashioned blunt expressions. For example, one couple I know recently had to explain to their children that granddad had been unwell and was now differently alive. Which is why they were taking him to the crematorium to be alternatively carbonised. OK, one team will read a children's story, which must be corrected if the other team notices any blatantly non-PC expressions. So, Barry and Graham, your story is Snow White. So, off you go with fingers on buzzers, Tim and Phil.
When the sun rose, the beautiful Snow White awoke, and, oh, how frightened she was when she saw the seven little dwarfs. What?
Well...
No. Oh. You can have differently tall...
Yeah, differently tall.
So you're objecting to little dwarfs?
Yes.
As opposed... Not personally?
Not personally, we just...
Oh, no, no.
So the seven normal-sized dwarfs?
Yes, exactly.
Seven jockeys?
Seven jockeys, OK.
Right. Yeah.
And please, yeah. Snow White, I find that racist.
Yeah. All right. The average snow person awoke.
My name is Snow White, and what are your names?
I'm happy, said Happy. At what?
What? Well, his emotional state is hardly relevant to the story, really.
And I'm grumpy, said Grumpy. What?
Oh, sure. He's just probably not diagnosed. He could be bipolar. It could be anything going on.
Right. I'm somewhere between happy and grumpy, said the first one. I'm somewhere between grumpy and happy, said the second one. I'm bashful, said the third, and I'm dopey, said the next. I'm in recovery, said the man. And these two are sleepy and sneezy. Well, how did you...
Look, can I just say, it's a lovely reading, but just because one of them has narcolepsy and the other has a cocaine problem, I don't see... A little more sensitivity.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Carry on.
And the good little normal people said, if you will take care of our house, cook for us and make the beds, wash, mend and knit, and keep everything neat and clean... Then you may stay with us all together and you shall want for nothing.
Fair enough.
Well, the next game is called Guess Who's Gone, and this will hopefully be a less messy follow-up to the old game called Guess Who Should Have Gone Before the Show. In Guess Who's Gone... The teams will be blindfolded and then one of the group will leave the stage. The object of the game, Guess Who's Gone, is to guess who's gone. Right, so Samantha will now hand you the blindfolds.
Thank you, Samantha.
And in 10 seconds, you can start guessing who's missing. Yeah? OK, when you're ready, teams, off you go.
I think Barry's gone for a fag, hasn't he? Have you gone, Barry? Are you there?
No, I'm here. I'm still here.
If anyone's not there, can you put your hand up?
I've forgotten the safe word.
Colin, are you still here?
Colin.
OK, you can take your mask off. It might be a little easier.
Tim, you're here, yeah?
Yep.
No, I'm here.
You're there, right. Yeah. And Phil?
Phil.
Phil's there, I heard his voice.
I, too.
And Barry's there.
Yes.
Yeah. So by process of elimination, I'm not here.
I think you are.
Oh.
So?
Adjudication, Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
Jack, can you decide?
Give us the answer, Jack. Sorry, Jack. We give up.
Jack.
Jack.
Oh, now we'll never know.
Good game, though.
Very good. Our next round is all about how programmes get their names, as the choice of title can make or break a series. Possibly one of the best BBC brands is Radio 4's current affairs flagship, the Today programme. And to explain how that name came about, we have the show's senior presenter. He's travelled all the way from London. Please welcome Mr. John Humphreys. Welcome, Mr. Humphreys.
Many thanks.
Sorry to interrupt, but we have to leave it there. And now some trails. Well, the teams are going to share with us some trails for TV and radio shows, all based on the obligatory punning title. Graham, can you start, please?
Channel 4 presents an award-winning documentary about the late Mrs. Simpson, Duchess of Windsor, and her lifelong struggle with seasickness. That's Wallace and Vomit, tonight at
Barry.
Channel 4, 9 tonight, a documentary about the amazing case of a man who's accused of sexually harassing elephants. That's Tickling the Ivories.
Later on this afternoon, how Scandinavians lose their hair trying to steal from a poorly protected furniture warehouse in locking the table store after the Norse has melted.
And later tonight on BBC Two, we continue our documentary series about life in the Middle East. We look at people whose upstairs neighbours are Palestinian militants. That's Homes Under the Hamas, shortly.
Tonight, a heartwarming documentary, when the ladies of the parish get rid of all the weeds in the church cemetery, entitled Let's Get Them Out for the Vicar on Channel 5.
And as part of our music season on BBC Four, it's going to be time for our roundtable music discussion show with the woman who sang Those Were the Days, the bloke who sang In the Summertime, and finally, the man who sang Vienna. That's Mary Mungo and Midge coming up soon.
Well, the teams are going to write some good old-fashioned letters now. Email, text and Twitter have all but wiped out the art of letter writing. Stephen Fry is the world's most famous Twitterer, while George Michael communicates through his own social networking site off his Facebook. In this round, each team take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous historical figures by improvising one word each of their letter in turn. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Thomas Chippendale to King George III. Then Tim and Phil will come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist alternating one word at a time. So off you go, Barry and Graham.
Dear Majesty, I hope you liked the nice commode which I sent
you.
And
furthermore,
that
you
received
the
commode
on
Tuesday,
which
was
the
day
I
posted
it.
Now,
when
I
made
the
commode,
I
designed
several
other
items
that
might
interest
you.
For
example,
the
flat pack
wardrobe,
which
was
devoted
to
yourself
when
I
saw
you
posing
in
the
nude
this
afternoon.
I
am
intending
to
design
a
new
and
improved
yet
conventional,
although
radical
but
traditional
item
that
is
2 feet in
height
and
3 feet
on top.
Now,
look
here.
I
want
to
know
if
you
want
my
next
piece
of
furniture,
which
I
have
enclosed
in
this
plain
envelope.
This
chair
will
expand
Or...
contract.
Or...
not.
As...
you...
wish.
Because...
it...
is...
a...
expand the contractor knot.
So...
how...
about...
it.
Good...
luck...
from...
your...
loyal...
servant...
Chippy.
Dear...
Mr...
Chippy.
I...
am... king... of... England... and...
Mars.
And...
I...
love...
monkeys.
But
when
I
have
the
monkey
on
my
commode,
I
am
excited
beyond
belief.
So
please
will
you
give
me
a
new
stool.
I
love
stools.
If
you
know
what
I
mean. Stools
are
comfortable
for
me
and
my
monkeys.
Anyway,
lots
of
love, Chippy,
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 from
my
monkey
and
me.
Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the game called Just a Minim. And this is the musical version of the popular radio program Just a Minute, hosted by the irrepressible Nicholas Parsons. Although we all know Nicholas as a radio presenter, according to his autobiography, his first job was actually in the Glasgow shipyards in 1941, which is said to be the last time anyone found him riveting. In Just a Minim, the teams will attempt to sing a well-known song without hesitation, deviation or repetition, while Colin Sell plays the piano. Listeners may be interested to hear that classical piano experts, who heard Colin recently, agreed he could be a new Schumann, possibly doing a spot of key-cutting as well. OK, the song I'd like you to sing without repetition, hesitation or deviation is This Old House. So, would you please start, Barry?
This old house, one knew his children. This ancient residence acquainted him with his wife.
Oh, a challenge by Phil.
Repetition of this.
Oh, come on.
It was indeed a repetition of this, Barry.
Yes, all right.
Phil, a new player of the game, relatively speaking, but still sharp enough to notice an old-timer like yourself, Barry, if
yes.
I may say that without sounding condescending. So over to you, Phil.
This aged...
And straight in, Barry has come back with a challenge.
So this again.
This again?
Yeah.
You did,
I'm afraid, straight away.
The word this, Phil. You may be new and you may be fresh. You may be keen and you may be enthusiastic, but it doesn't mean that you can play this game and get away with it. Because Barry noticed that you repeated the word this and he got you for it. Got you back for your somewhat mean-spirited challenge earlier on, if I may say so. Over to you, Barry.
The aforementioned... oh, what? Where are you, Colin? Oh.
Deviation.
It is true, I think. I'll give you that. That really did take us away from the full meaning of the song, Barry. I can't let you continue when you're talking gibberish. I told you that. I told you that on the train up here.
As they fought the storms of life.
Graham is challenged. Before you carry on, Tim. Graham, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
In what way was there a hesitation?
Colin didn't come in with a piano.
Colin, I'm afraid you did hesitate. I'm afraid I can't let you have that. You can't continue. However, Tim still holds it for another 14 seconds on the song This Old Man. This old... what?
Graham, deviation.
Graham has now challenged deviation, of course, challenging me, although that isn't in the rules, but the audience enjoyed your challenge so much. Still yours, Tim, with another 4 seconds to play.
The ancient building one time was a friend of...
Barry has challenged.
We've had ancient before. Ancient residents.
It would help to have had some piano backing, you know.
He told me not to play.
Easy there, fingers.
Okay. All right.
Unclench your fists, Colin. It's most unbecoming, please. We can't have aggressive piano playing.
He unclenches his fists. How's he going to play the piano?
Tim is still holding on to a thin lead with another 2 seconds to go on This Old House. So off you go, Tim.
Now he trembles in the darkness.
Oh. And Tim was singing When I Blew the Whistle. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for an edition of the Primates Songbook. It's often said that if you had an infinite number of monkeys typing, they would produce the complete works of Shakespeare. Well, thanks to the internet, we now know that isn't true. OK, teams, I'll invite you, please, to suggest songs likely to be popular with an audience of monkeys, apes and other primates. And, Phil, can you start us off?
King Kong Merrily on High.
Barry.
Rhesus Christ Superstar.
Tim.
The Blue-Arsed Mountains of Virginia.
Graham.
Baboon Ron Ron.
My orangutan won't come back.
99 Red Baboons.
Bob-bob-bob-bob-bobriope.
I want to hold your foot.
Tie a yellow gibbon round the old oak tree. Michael Rowe, Rowan Williams ashore.
Yeah.
Rowan Williams, Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a primate. Yeah.
We were going to try these out on monkeys before the show, but it was being too unkind, so we just squirted shampoo in their eyes again. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Leeds, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Phil Jupitus were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.